5 lines from the bottom. Chaf Amir Aleph. You have it? No, more. Yeah. The Gemara is discussing that if Beis Din never intimidated the witnesses to make Rosh Chodesh a day earlier or a day later, and the Gemara was discussing the whole thing because what's the name? Rabbi Bar Shmuel said before in a statement that I would think that just like Beis Din could make an extra leap year by adding an extra month, I would think they can add an extra leap day, meaning make 30 instead of 29. So learned out from a pasuk that only years you can make leap is not into but not months. Therefore, according to Rabbi Bar Shmuel, every month just goes 29:30, 29:30, 29:30. You just can't do whatever you want. So the Gemara asked a bunch of questions on it because it says that Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi said that you can make it earlier, not later. To make the month earlier, you can. Well, one person says you can make it later. One person says you can intimidate them to make it earlier. So the Rabbi says now, Hadatani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, listed Rabbi Bar Shmuel, said that you cannot do it into a leap month. Whatever it is, 29:30, 29:30, you can never intimidate the witnesses. Achedim, he goes according to the opinion of Achedim. Mm-hmm. Achedim basically was the opinion that says in the Rishonim that many times Achedim is the opinion of Rab Meir. Mm-hmm. And those dinim that he heard from Acher, who was his Rebbe that became an Apikaitis,
yeah.
So they called it Achedim.
Yeah.
So he says, what did Achedim say? The Tanya, Achedim, Eimrim, Achedim say as follows. Eim bein atzeres la'atzeres. There's never a difference between Shavuos of 1 year and the Shavuos of the earlier year. Ve'eim bein Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. And there's no difference in the days of Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Ela abar yamim levad. Only 4 days itself. That means, if you have Rosh Hashanah, and you want to know when next year's Rosh Hashanah is, it's going to be 4 days later. If you want to know, you have no Shavuos 1 year, you want to know when the Shavuos is going to be next year, or when the Shavuos is going to be last, when was Shavuos last year? 4 days earlier, or later. Mm-hmm. Okay, he holds, Achedim holds, every Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres, from 1 year to the next is 4 days apart, and if it was a leap year, it'll be 5 days. What does this mean? Explain very simple. According to the calendar day, the solar calendar, there's 354 days. 354 days is if each month is 29:30, 29:30, 29:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then it's 6 times 30, and then it's 6 times 29. Okay? So you're left with 360 minus 6 days. So it's 354 days. Now if you split 354 days by 7, by weeks, it comes out there's a remainder of 4.
Mm-hmm.
So if a year is exactly 354 days, and you're dividing it by weeks, it says remainder 4. That means from one Rosh Hashanah to next year's Rosh Hashanah is going to be 4 days later in the week. The same thing with Shavuos. Now, obviously, according to Achedim, there's no such thing as changing a month from 29 sometimes to 30 and sometimes to 30 to 29. It's always scheduled. 29:30, 29:30, 29:30. So when Rabbi Rabbi Shmuel says that you can never intimidate the witnesses, not for earlier, not for later,
mm-hmm.
just years, you can add leap years. But not months. That goes according to Rachedim. Okay. Bechlal, what's called the Shana Kesidran, a normal lunar year, has 354 days. Sometimes, though, if you have a leap year, so what's the cheshbon of a leap year? Because a leap year has, what does this make the cheshbon over here? It's 29 days longer. 29 days longer. So again, it's divisible by 7, remainder 1. That's why in a leap year, they're 5 days apart, not 4 days apart.
How did you get 4?
Because if you have 354 divided by 7, so 7 into 35 is 5, right? 7 into 4, so it's remainder 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if 50, it's 50 remainder 4. So if you're going to divide the year by the weeks, and Rosh Hashanah, let's say 1 year is Shabbos, right? So counting 354 days, which if you divide it by 7, you're going to get 50 weeks later plus remainder 4. So the next year, Rosh Hashanah, is going to be, I think they include the day itself. If it was on Sunday, the next year would be Thursday. 4 days later. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Rosh Hashanah can't fall on Sunday, but according to Achedim, we don't paskin like that.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes we have Kislev and Cheshvan, sometimes 29, sometimes 30. Sometimes it goes Kisidron, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
Like this year, it's a leap year, plus Cheshvan and Kislev are both added.
Mm-hmm. Do we ever go to the Kodesh of Atharim?
It could happen.
No, but in any other halacha?
Oh yeah, sure.
They won even though the guy was...
No, but Ramey accepted it.
My ass after he became a Bokeres, it has nothing to do with the learning, dinim.
Right. Now, Taisis asks a question. So, Shana Defet Abayom Mishmeni Shois. Taisis asks, every 30 years there's another day anyway. To the year. Why? Because a Shana is 4 days, 8 hours, and 876 Chalokim. Now 876 Chalokim is going to add up after 30 years to be a complete day.
Hmm.
So every 30 years, so they said, but that's not the normal way of doing things. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ravdimi of Nardoi Masni of Chamamish taught the opposite of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Before Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, you can make it delayed, but you can't intimidate the witnesses to say they saw the moon when they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, Ravdimi Nardoi Masni of Chihilu is the opposite. Ma'aymin ala Eidim. Ala Chedesh Lunir Abizmani Lakachi. On the contrary, they come to the witnesses that didn't see a moon and told them that they did. But we don't intimidate the Eidim that if they did see it after 29 days to say no you didn't see it. My time, the Gemara says, what's the reason? He said very simple, this looks like a lie. Meaning if you didn't see the moon to say you saw the moon,
it's a lie.
But to say that they saw the moon and to say no you didn't, that's going to be a problem. No, 1 second.
He said a lie too.
Yeah, before we learned the opposite. Before we learned that to make it later, yeah, to probably some people might have seen it. When you say you didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, Rav Dimi from Nardoi says, no. What they will do is, they will say the month is later, but they won't intimidate the witnesses to make it earlier. I'm sorry.
The opposite.
We do intimidate the witnesses to say that even if they didn't see it, to say they saw it. It says,
huh? That's not lying.
Because two witnesses saw the moon on the 30th, other people saw it too. Then, if people didn't see it,
right.
I mean, if we're going to tell them you didn't see it,
you're going to tell them you saw it.
People are going to say the Bezin's liar.
Yeah.
You're going to say we saw it. Oh, I see. Perfect.
No, I was right the first time. Bezdin, according to Ravdimi, will say, if they didn't see it, they'll make him say they saw it.
Right.
Why is a liar? Because the people in the world don't know that they didn't see. Maybe those two saw it. But in the time when they saw it, to say they didn't, then it looks like Besdin's lying. Because just like those two witnesses saw it, Besdin, other people also saw it.
If they didn't see it, how could it be witnesses?
So we learned, we learned before what it means is they weren't sure if they saw it. They thought and they said maybe yeah, maybe not, and they weren't sure.
So they get on the horseback and they come to the basin and say, oh, I'm not sure if I saw it or not?
Right. Right.
Maybe somebody else saw before.
You can intimidate, but we learned. It doesn't mean yet. We learned before the Mefarshim asked, what are you, to make the witnesses lie? It means they're not sure. You can't just pick two guys off the street and say, okay, say you saw the moon. I mean, that's open lying. You can't do that. Okay, now the Gemara says, this is an interesting concept in Gemara. Amr Shmuel said, Yechenu l'sikne l'kula gaila. I can make a calendar for the entire people in Golus to figure out exactly when they'll see the moon or not. Meaning you'll say they don't need Besdin anymore. I could do it in such a way that they will figure out exactly when the new month is. Amalei Abba Avod Rav Simloi. So Abba, the father of Simloi, said to Shmuel, let me ask you a question. Yada Mar Hai Milse. Do you know the concept, what's learned in Seder Iber? What we learned in a place called Seder Iber, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Neilet Kedem Chatzais, whether the moon was born before midday, or Neilet Acher Chatzais, if it was born after midday. Do you know that or not? So he answered, Loi, no, I don't. Shmuel said, no, I don't know it. Amalei, so he said to Shmuel, Midahala Yada Mar, if you don't know this, Ikamil Acherin Loi Yada. So then you don't know a lot of other things. So how can you make a calendar? Okay, I may even made copies of this because at the bottom to understand what's going on over here. I didn't make so many copies, but two can share together. Mm-hmm. Okay, should be four copies there. Okay. There was something called Seder Ibud. The Beis Din figured out all the calculations. Now, it wasn't something Kabbalistic. It was something according to astronomy. Shmuel Bechlau knew astronomy very well. Mm-hmm. Shmuel said that I know the heavens like the streets of my hometown, Nardoi. And his hometown wasn't L.A. or New York, you know. Nardoi was a little shtetl in Bavel. So Shmuel said, Nihirin Lishvilin Derekia, I know the streets of the heavens like the streets of my hometown. Now there's a thing called, if you see an if you look at two in the comments on the first page in the English in two, you have it, okay, because this explains this thing very well. Shmuel claimed that he was so expert in the branch of astronomy associated with calculating the celestial part of the month, he did need testimony of witnesses to know when the new month came. Mm-hmm. Okay, so therefore, what does Shmuel want to accomplish by this? That the 2 days of Yom Tov, Golus won't have to keep. Mm-hmm. Why did they keep 2 days of Golus? Because they didn't know which day would be Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. But Shmuel said, listen, I can figure out in such a way, it would be great that you would know exactly when it is. Okay. So then in three, he says, what's the quote, Seder Iber, he says, the compilation of Brice was known at the times of the Gemara, but its full text is no longer existence. Okay, and he says, the next paragraph, he says, these secrets refer to no more than astronomical computations concerning the cycles of the sun and the moon, which are the basis of the calendar. There's nothing Kabbalistic about these calculations, but they're known as secrets because the masses didn't know it. So it's called Seder Iber. Okay? Now, if you skip that paragraph, because it's not... when the Sanhedrin ceased to function and a fixed calendar was instituted, there was no longer a purpose of hiding the calculations, because now everybody has the calendar. In fact, the Gemara says, this that we keep 2 days, Yom Tov, is not because we don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. We know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. Except because Minig Aviseinu Biyadeinu. That's the only reason it says. We don't keep 2 days Yom Tov today in Chutz La'aretz because we don't know when Rosh Chodesh was. According to Shmuel's calendar, which was really instituted before Shmuel, the calendar we have today, we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, when the moon could be seen. So why do we keep 2 days? The answer is because our forefathers kept 2 days, we keep 2 days.
Would I make the calendar back then, we wouldn't have to keep 2 days now?
They made the calendar before Shmuel even. What?
Why did they keep the calculations from the masses?
It wasn't that they kept them. The masses weren't... How many of us know all these calculations of Kiddush or Chedush of the Rambam? We don't... You don't learn it. You don't know it. It was such secretive because they didn't learn it. Because they didn't know it. Bezdin didn't know it. Yeah, now you learn it, so you know it. Because, but otherwise not. Okay. Now, in 4 he says... The Brisa just says that there's a difference if the birth of the moon is before midday or after midday. But the Brisa doesn't say what the difference is. So in the second column, okay, he gives a whole explanation of figuring out, the second column where it says conjunction of Meilid of the moon cycle. You know when we mention Rosh Chodesh, you call it the Meilid? Mm-hmm. No, the Meilid literally means the birth of the moon.
Yeah?
Yeah? What does this thing mean, the birth of the moon? What does it mean? So here it explains very well, that's why it just pays to read what he says. The subject is, the moon moves around the earth eastward, completed cycle once a month. The moon goes around the earth once a month. At one point in the cycle, the moon is aligned exactly between the earth and the sun. That alignment is known as a conjunction of the moon relative to the earth. That means the birth of the moon. At about the time of conjunction, a new moon begins in the Jewish calendar. The moon does not give off any of its own light, rather it reflects the sun's light. Mm-hmm. Thus, at any time, only half of the moon's surface, which faces the sun, is lit up, and the other half is dark.
Is that going to be an eclipse?
No.
You don't eclipse out the sun?
No.
The moon is between the...
Yeah, but it's not blocking the sun because it's different angles.
Sun,
yeah, but it's the different angles. Mm. How much light side is visible to observers on Earth depends on the moon's position relative to the sun and to the Earth. At a time of conjunction, meaning when the moon is born, when the moon is between Earth and the sun, the light side of the moon faces the sun and the dark side faces the Earth, making the moon invisible to the observer on Earth. Now, if you look at picture A, if you look at the first picture... You can come close, you can look up at the... Now, if you see the sun on the left, right? And then, the earth is the... Right? Now, half the earth is lit up because it's facing the sun. Half the earth is dark because it's away from the sun. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, when the moon is born, the moon is exactly between sun and earth. So the lit up part, the left side of the moon, which is white, which is lit up, is the part facing the sun, and the part facing the earth is completely black, meaning you don't see the moon. Okay? Now, when the moon, if you look in picture B, because the moon, like he says, as the moon, okay, go back to the inside, as the moon continues its cycle and moves eastward out of the alignment, a small crescent becomes visible. The more it moves away from the sun, meaning that you can get the angle of the sun and the earth, the moon, it becomes more visible. When the moon has completed half of its monthly cycle, it's directly opposite the sun on the other side of the earth, which is diagram B. That means the earth moves around, the moon moves around the earth. Yeah? So when the moon is in picture A, opposite the sun, so only the sun facing moon is lit up, the moon facing the earth is mamish dark. Now, when the sun ends up to be a full moon, meaning when the sun is on the right side of the earth, right? Now the moon that's facing the sun is visible now to earth. Right?
Would you just repeat that?
When the moon is full, You see B, picture B. Okay, when the moon is full, when is the moon full? When the moon is on the opposite side of the earth. Now obviously, see, when you look at the picture, it looks that, so how come the sun give light to the moon if the earth is blocking?
Yeah.
But it's not on the same exact level. It's going like this. So the moon is here, the sun is looking at the moon. So this side of the moon shines, and therefore this side is now visible to earth. Understand? So when the moon, you see, when the moon is on opposite the sun, I mean, at the other side of the earth, yeah? So now the side of the moon facing the earth is also facing the sun. So then we can see a full moon.
The sun stays straight or moves? Sun.
Everything moves. This is one of the big differences between Torah and science. Uh-huh. According to the Rambam, everything moves around the earth, and the earth doesn't move at all. Period. It's very logical, by the way.
Yeah.
Because if the purpose of creation is the earth, uh-huh, then the servants move around the king. The king doesn't go moving around the servants.
It's on axis.
That's all. It's questionable what the Rambam holds. It's possible that the Rambam says even that doesn't move.
From Gemara or just have
Gemara? No, Gemara.
In this picture, we see, don't have any photo. We don't have that shade of earth go on the moon. All of them are same.
Yeah, but if you see in picture C, when the moon is moving, okay, then a little, you see a little bit less. Based on the relationship of the moon to earth, it's how much of the moon you can actually see on earth. For A, let's go again. A, the moon is facing only the sun.
Okay.
The part of the moon that's facing the earth has no light because that's not facing the sun. So therefore, there is no moon. We don't see the moon. Not that there's no moon. We don't see the moon.
The daytime, you can see the moon. But it's not shining anymore.
Yeah, correct. We're going to talk about that later. In B, he explains when the full moon is. When the moon moves around to the other side of the earth, that the half moon, which is facing the sun, is also facing the earth, then you see a full moon. And C is just the various times of the month. If you look at the angle between the sun to the moon and the moon to the earth, so you see, sometimes you see a little bit more of the moon, sometimes you see a little bit less of the moon. What is it dependent on? It's dependent on the relationship between the sun and the moon, and the moon and the earth. How much moon is facing the sun, and how much moon is facing the earth, that's how much of the moon you're going to see. If the moon is only facing the sun, earth will see nothing of the moon. If the moon is facing the sun and the earth, then you're going to see a full moon. If you're going to see in between, so you'll see part of the moon.
Rambam has a mathematical proof of this?
The Rambam in Kiddush HaChodesh, the whole Kiddush HaChodesh that seems to be so difficult for somebody that learned a little bit of astronomy, not me, but somebody that learned a little bit of astronomy, understand it very simple. The whole Kiddush HaChodesh, what the Rambam is basically doing, what we're learning here, mm-hmm, is figuring out when the birth of the moon is, and also to see if there's a feasibility for the witnesses to see the moon or not. Mm-hmm. Because the whole Kiddush HaChodesh is that the witnesses have to see the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to figure out if the witnesses can see the moon, what do you need to know? The angle of the sun, moon and earth. How much the sun is shining on the moon, and how much the moon at the same time is shining to earth, facing earth, right? Now, based on the rotation of the sun and the moon, which in the heavens is a 360 degree of a circle, you can figure out where the sun is, where the moon is, where their relationship to earth is, and then you can see, like we're learning here, if the moon is facing the sun completely, and there's no angle of the moon facing the earth, which is getting light from the sun, you can't see a moon. if the moon is facing the earth and the sun, you're going to get a full moon. The more each one turns, you're going to get less of the moon or more of the moon.
The different part of the world.
Correct.
The birth of the moon is a little bit after part A.
Huh?
The birth of the moon is a little bit after part A.
Oh, so now we're going to see when's the, what's called conjunction of the moon. Okay, now. Look in the second column again. We'll start 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the end of the English part. When the moon has completed half of its monthly cycle, is directly opposite the sun on the other side of the earth, because the earth is positioned between the sun and the moon. Then a full moon is seen. This occurs about the middle of the Jewish month. The moon then continues in its cycle and begins moving closer to the sun. As the moon progresses its course, less and less of the moon is visible to earth. When the moon reaches again the point, next page, of conjunction, it becomes totally invisible. Like we said, when you're going back to picture A, when the moon goes back, that it faces completely to the sun and nothing facing the earth, then you're not going to have any moon at all. As the moon approaches conjunction, and this is a important detail. As the moon approaches conjunction, meaning during the latter half of the month, when the moon lies west of the sun, it is known as the old moon, because the moon is leaving. Right? So this is the old moon, and soon you're going to have a new moon. After the conjunction, meaning the first half of the moon, when the moon is east of the sun, and therefore it shines to earth, it is called the new moon. The moment of conjunction is therefore known in Hebrew as the Meilid, literally the birth, because it is that moment that the new moon is born. The old moon leaves, and the new moon is starting to come. In the actual fact, and he says interestingly, after the Meilid, the moon's crescent is too thin to be seen. At the Meilid, you taka don't see the moon. Even though it's called the birth of the moon, but you actually can't take it. It takes a number of hours before the new moon can actually be observed, as we explain in the Gemara shortly. Additionally, when the moon is so close to conjunction, its light is blinded by the stronger light of the sun, rendering the moon invisible to an observer on earth. Now, meaning as follows. If the Meilid is the middle of the day, let's say the Meilid is 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah? If the Meilid is 9 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to see the moon anyway, because the sun is so shining. Mm-hmm. When the sun is bright, you can't see the moon anyway. In addition to the fact, the birth of the moon, if you see picture A, exactly when the sun is at that, the moon is at that state, that level, that's when the moon is being born. Because, and a few hours later, when the moon moves a little bit more, that's when you'll start seeing the moon. When the moon goes, if you see in picture C, you see where it says conjunction? It's picture C on the left, it says there's a picture of a half moon with conjunction, and then the moon moving downward, okay, it's going to be more visible until the full moon, then it becomes decreasing visibility. That's why after the 15th of the month, the moon gets smaller. Why is it getting smaller? Because the angle of the sun to the moon to earth is in a way that there's less moon visible to earth. When there's less moon visible to earth, you see less of the moon. But it's called the old moon, which as soon as it comes to the picture A again, conjunction of the moon, the old moon leaves and the new moon is starting to become visible. What? The old visibility is over, and now starts the new visibility.
Also, the first half of the month, you see the right side of the moon, and the second half of the month, you see
the left side of the moon, correct. Because the moon is moving, you see, from west to east. I'm sorry, from east. The moon comes up in the morning in the east, and sets in the west. But going around the sun, he said this before on the first page, 1 second. He said before on the new moon, The moon moves around the earth eastward. So the more eastward the moon moves, after the full moon, the less of it you see.
So the opposite of the moon, sun goes westward.
No. Everything in the sky comes up in the east and sets in the west. Do you know when the moon comes up, it's always coming up in the east? And if you look in the late night, the moon is all the way to the west, like the sun. Everything in the solar system comes up in the east and sets in the west. The question is how the moon moves eastward around the earth.
When you announce Molid for Shabbat,
that's this conjunction of the moon. When the moon is facing exactly between sun and earth, here's the sun, here's earth, like in the picture A. Okay? The sun, earth, and the moon is exactly in the middle.
But not necessarily for the United States, but we're praying for Israel time. You know what
I'm right. saying? The Molid that we talk about is Israeli time, not American time.
There's much difference here.
Well, we're 10 hours different.
No, besides that,
geographically,
let's say those witnesses that they set up the time in Israel that 2,000 years ago, if we're in the United States, would be completely different time, Rabbi.
Correct. The Meilid that we do is Israeli time. The Meilid in Yerushalayim.
Yeah. That geographic point.
Correct.
Because people like, let's say, in South Pole or let's say Argentina, there was completely different timing. Totally.
Correct.
The way
everything is different. The Meilid that we consider, we call out the Meilid, because the Meilid is not someone you see the moon. Like he explains, it takes a number of hours, 6 to 8 hours later maybe, to see the moon, especially if it's during the day. But what the Meilid of the moon is, because that the point of conjunction is when the old moon is completely not visible and the new moon is not visible yet. Remember, the second half of the month we're calling the old moon, which is disappearing, and now comes a new moon. Right, the new month is called the new moon. That's why a month in Hebrew is called Chodesh. Why is a month in Hebrew called Chodesh? Chodesh comes with Chidush. Because every month becomes, so to speak, a new moon. And again, the moon is there whether you see it or not. It's not that every moon becomes more, the moon becomes bigger. It's obviously we see more of the moon. The moon is always there. Year is called Shana, because Shana means to repeat. Right? The sun never changes. So it's a repetition. The moon changes. So it's called Chidush. So the Meilid is exactly the moment when the old sun becomes completely invisible and the new moon is now starting to become visible. So this person said to Shmuel, do you know the difference if the Meilid is before midday or after midday? So Shmuel said no. So he said to him, so how can you make a calendar to figure out when Rosh Chodesh is if you don't know such an important fact about it? If the Meilid is before midday or after midday, when do you make Rosh Chodesh? And the Gemara, we don't know exactly what it is. But he asked him, do you know the difference? Because the Gemara doesn't say what the difference is. If the Meilid is before midday, or if the Meilid is after midday. That we don't know. Now, when is the Meilid? How much is it between one Meilid and the next Meilid? So the Rambam says, the Rambam writes like this. This by the way, the sole source of this Rambam is this Gemara that we're going to be learning. So it's very interesting just to not to rush into it, to understand it. The Rambam writes as follows. The day has 24 hours. 12 hours of the day, 12 hours of the night. Now, an hour, besides having 60 minutes, according to Halacha, is divided into 1,080 Chalakim. You know when they call out the Meilid, we say, 429 and 10 Chalakim? Mm-hmm. What do you mean 10 Chalakim? An hour is divided into 1,080 Chalakim. Why? He said, the Rambam writes, because this number can be divided by half, quarter, eighth, third, sixth, ninth, fifth, tenth. And the commentaries all ask, why do you need that number 1,080? The number 360 is the same number, to have all these divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. And they ask a question on the Rambam, well, why does the Rambam need 1,080? I mean, it's not the Rambam, it's the Gemara.
8 or 8, you're right.
1,080. That means there's 1,080 chalokim. Now, if you figure out 60 times 60 is 3,600. Now, this is approximately, a chalik is, there's 3,600 seconds in an hour. But there's only 1,080 chalokim in an hour. So each chalik is like 3 seconds. Each chalik is 3 seconds of an hour. Then he says as follows. Now the Rambam says, between one meilid and another meilid is as follows. 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim. Mm-hmm. Between one conjunction of the moon, the birth of the moon, you know, when the moon is exactly there, opposite the sun, to the next one, is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim. That's the exact time between Meilid to Meilid. So once you know one Meilid, you can figure out all the Meilids of the future world.
How did you figure that out?
That's astronomy. The Gemara says later in Rosh Hashanah that Chafei, they bring down. But this is the whole cheshbon of figuring out. Why did Bezdin have to know this? Bezdin had to know this because they had to figure out the feasibility of a guy when the witnesses came and said we saw the moon. If it was before the conjunction of the moon, the Meilid of the moon, Bezdin knew for sure they were liars. Because it's impossible to see the moon, and they couldn't say they saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you want to figure out a calendar to know every Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to learn later in the Gemara, by the way, there's a big difference if the Meilid is before midday or after midday.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Sometimes if the Meilid is after midday, Rosh Chodesh becomes the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Meilid is before Rosh Chodesh, in the morning, it could be that day. Well, that's not clear. I mean, we're going to see in the Gemara all these details. But he said to Shmuel, how can you want to figure out the calendar if you don't know this basic thing? And if you don't know this, maybe you won't know other things too. That's what he told to Shmuel.
He knew?
He
knew?
Shmuel probably did not. Because they say he was the expert.
Mm-hmm.